In 1998, the Orlando Sentinel newspaper published a short article entitled "Study Shows How Music Moves Us." The article made a statement which said, quote, "By observing a brain as it listens to a tune, a Canadian researcher has found that various melodies have a direct and powerful effects on regions of the brain that control emotions." Also in that short article, McGill University neuroscientist Anne Blood was quoted as saying, "Some people say music is the language of emotions." In February 2020, Mrs. Jody Cox forwarded an email to me that was sent to her by her father, Mr. Dan Anderson. He's been involved in the music area of the church for many years and is currently the choir director in Phoenix, Arizona. The article he sent was titled, "Your Brain and Singing, Why Singing in a Choir Makes You Happier." Now, I promise I'm not trying to generate interest in the choir, get anybody to join the choir. That's not my purpose today. But this is just some information about choirs and about music. Mr. Anderson also quoted Stacy Horn, author of a book entitled Imperfect Harmony, Finding Happiness While Singing with Others. She explains how science is finally catching up with what vocalists have known since the dawn of time: singing heals. Now, while Mr. Anderson's message was focused on singing, I'd like to talk about music in general. So what is music? If I were to ask any number of people that question, I would probably receive a lot of different answers. I looked it up in Wikipedia, and I found this definition, quote, "Music is generally defined as the art of arranging sound to create some combination, form, harmony, melody, rhythm, or otherwise expressive content. Definitions of music vary depending on culture," unquote. Now, while I was researching this subject a few years ago, I came across the following information. Unfortunately, I neglected to write down the source. It might have been one of the Bible commentaries or whatever. I simply don't remember, but I did write this down. Quote, "Akkadian cuneiform texts describe the Mesopotamian theory of music from about 2800 to 500 BC. That's over 3,000 years before Christ they were talking about music. Now, further on in the article, it states, quote, "Going back to about 3000 BC, the pictorial and written clues to Egyptian music tradition that have survived the centuries are particularly valuable in the appreciation of musical instruments and background information for instruments mentioned in the biblical text." In other words, instruments mentioned in the Bible can be found in Egyptian writings as far back as 3000 BC. So music has a long history. Now, if you watch any movie or TV program, and there is music, it is designed to emphasize the on-screen action. Back in the days when movies were just becoming popular, and before technology had evolved to record sound, the theaters used a person just off stage playing the organ or a piano, while the dialogue was displayed on the screen below the action as a subtitle. Many of you may have already seen the movies Before Talkies or some article about that, and that's what it was all about. The Bible has much to say about music. For instance, many of the Psalms are songs that David wrote and sang. We'll look a couple of them a little bit later, but why are you discussing this in such detail, you may ask? Good question. Simply because it is a subject which applies to every human being, young or old, Christian or atheist, in a wide range of ways and applications. As such, music plays a large role in just about everything we do in life. Thus, it can have a large influence on us and why and how we do things in different ways. I could bore you with a lot more information on the subject, but the main point I want to emphasize is that music is an integral part of our lives. Please remember that. We here in our congregation are blessed by having special music for every service. We just heard Mrs. Proctor provide some. Maybe just a piano solo, but whatever is presented adds enjoyment to the service. And many, if not most, of the Cogwell congregations rarely have such an experience, such a blessing. The earliest mention of music in the Bible is in Genesis. Let's turn back to chapter 4. We'll take a reading of that. Genesis chapter 4, this is the genealogy of Adam and Eve. And we'll start in verse 20, where it says, "And Adah bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwelled in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and the flute." I wonder if this is where our word jubilee comes from. Sounds logical. Now let's turn to a couple of verses on the subject. Once again, they are but a few of the many. 2 Samuel chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 1. "And again David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. Now think about this, 30,000 people that he gathered. "And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim." Now you remember previous verses show us that the ark wound up being stolen by, I think it was the Philistines, and they had such problems with it, they turned it loose, and it wound up at Abinadab's home. So this is what they're talking about. They went to get it back. "So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark." So we see that David gathered 30,000 men. Now, I didn't say how many women, but he did say 30,000 men. That's a huge choir. And we'll read a little bit more about that later. And then where it says, "Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals." Now, according to dictionary.com, a sistrum was an ancient Egyptian percussion instrument consisting of a looped metal frame set in a handle and fitted with loose crossbars that rattle when shaken. So it was just a simple tambourine maybe that didn't make any noise but just some clicking noises as they rattled it. Here we find the account of the ark being transferred from the house of Abinadab to Jerusalem. There was a great celebration with many instruments, singing, and dancing. I guess if you got 30,000 plus people there, it was a real big thing. Now, these are only a couple of the Old Testament scriptures that mention music. How about the New Testament? Well, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 15, records the tale of the prodigal son and how, when he repented and returned home, he was greeted with music and dancing and that certainly angered his older brother. He got all this attention. In Acts 16, we read the account of Paul and Silas being put in prison in Macedonia. They never had the attitude of, oh, woe is me, here I am stuck in a prison. No, if we read through it, rather they and some of the other prisoners were singing hymns and spiritual songs. They were having a gay old time in prison. Now another excerpt from Your Brain and Singing says, quote, other forms of happiness await us via singing as we age. Neuroscientists have shown that musical memories engage broader neural pathways than other types of memories. That's why hearing an old song can flood one with very specific emotions and visual cues. When dementia and Alzheimer's patients are encouraged to sing along songs from their youth, they sometimes responded with wide-eyed wonder and exhilaration and sing out in a way that it surprised not only those around them, but themselves as well. It's a beautiful phenomenon to witness. Additionally, doctors are now finding that singers have more circuit connections between the right and left sides of their brains than non-singers. Memorizing words, that's a left brain function, and music, a right brain function, could keep those nerve cells and synapses in excellent working order. So the more you sing, the longer you live. I guess that's what we can take from that. But I'm sure that by now you're asking yourself why I'm giving you all this information. It may be that some of you have little interest in the subject. Not that that's a lack of interest is anything bad. But most of us do listen to music at various times during the day. For instance, what was the first thing we did at the beginning of services? Did we not sing three hymns? And when Mr. Pennington got through with his part of the service, didn't we sing another hymn? And then Mrs. Proctor provided us with some pleasing piano music. And when I'm through, we'll sing yet another hymn. So there's music to be done in each and every service. And why do you suppose services are infused with hymns? Do you think that maybe music brings us closer together and helps us keep us in the right frame of mind to hear and understand the messages? Possibly, maybe one of the reasons. Other churches also use music during their services. One of the largest and most well-known church choirs is the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I'm sure most of you have heard of them. They not only perform for their services, but they also do concerts and recordings. Now, if you look behind the curtain in back of me, you will see music stands and a set of drums. Evidence of the music that is performed during the services of the Sunday church that meets here each week. I grew up in the 1940s, during the tail end of the big band era. Some of the popular artists of that time, you may have heard some of these, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Ella Fitzgerald, Dinah Shore, Duke Ellington, Glenn Miller, I know some of you older folks have heard those, and many others. Rock and roll entered the picture in 1957 when Bill Haley and the Comets recorded Rock Around the Clock. Since then, there's been a plethora of performers, many of them one-hit wonders, and also some legitimate artists. Names like the Eagles, one of my favorite groups, Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Billy Joel, Elton John, and again, many others. Today, there are many rock groups and artists, most of whose names I don't know, but I suspect the younger folks do. But I want to caution you to beware of who and what you listen to. Satan has his hands deeply embedded in today's entertainment mediums, especially the music young people and us older folks too listen to. Music is a powerful tool Satan uses to influence us. Now, while I can't prove it, I have a hunch that the rash of young shooters who have killed and wounded many people in the last few months were inspired, at least to some degree, by the entertainment they were involved in. Let's turn to read a couple of other scriptures that have been preserved in the Bible for us. Psalm number 61. Psalm 61. And we'll read the first verse. Actually, I want to read just the first few words of the first verse, the header, if you will, where it says, "To the chief musician on a stringed instrument, a psalm of David." In other words, this is one of the songs that David himself composed and sang on a, everybody calls it a harp, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but it was a four string on a stringed instrument, didn't say how many strings. But David's plea to God was set to music. Now why? I don't know. But perhaps David thought that God might be more apt to understand and grant his request if it were musical. Maybe, maybe not, but we're sure that God enjoyed hearing it nonetheless. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles 13, verse 8. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, and we'll read verse 8. "Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets." This is again the account, the second account of the moving of the ark from Abinadab's house to Jerusalem. And this was a serious celebration. Notice the music was made with all their might. I mean, they weren't just up there humming and doing whatever. They were dancing. They were doing all kinds of things to music. And it was a big celebration. As we know, David was a prolific musician. Not only did he compose, record, and sing many of the Psalms, but as king, he devoted a lot of resources to make quality music a part of worship. He set groups of men to be musicians and singers and what all that were active during the services and all of that. He's quite prolific in that way. And like I say, he devoted a lot of resources to make quality music a part of the worship. This was quoted from the Life, Hope, and Truth article, "What Does the Bible Say About Music?" And that was written by Mr. Mike Bennett. Mr. Bennett also made the comment that from the beginning, music has been a part of every culture. And so, over the centuries and millennia, the music of the world has developed an amazing variety of ways. Now, I hope I've given you something to think about concerning music. What kind of music do you listen to throughout the day? Rock? Gospel? Perhaps classical? Let's see, there's blues and all kinds of different things. Maybe simply what you hear on TV or as background music at the mall or in a store. The point is, I want you all to think about the title of my message, How Music Moves Us. Whatever genre of music we listen to has an effect on our mood and on our attitude. Gospel music is generally uplifting. It makes us feel good. But if the lyrics are not biblical, it sends us the wrong message. The music may be enjoyable, but the words not so much. And it could eventually turn us away from the only true God. If your choice is rock, there again, be cautious. It may be uplifting, set out our feet to tapping and our hands to clapping, but what do the lyrics tell you? Here again, be very careful. And too many of our young folks listen to that kind of rock nowadays. And what is it saying? What is it listening to? Or what are they listening to? Much of rock consists of screaming guitars and obnoxious chord structures that doesn't project the right kind of frame of mind in those who listen to it. We need to analyze the music we listen to and determine what it does to our moods and our attitude. We are calm and peaceful, or are we agitated and on edge? We cannot afford to let Satan control our thoughts and our attitudes. If we're not sure whether or not a piece of music is okay, ask God. If your heart is right with His, He'll let you know. I had planned on playing snippets of different kinds of music to let you see what your reaction would be, what kind of a mood that put you in. But time got away from me and I couldn't put it together. You can do that yourselves. Just take some time to play different tunes and see how they make you feel. You could do this as a family project. If you have young children, it'd be something for them to learn as well. What you learn may surprise you. Remember, the music does move us. Are you being moved in the right direction?